This is
now I'm just gonna stare at you until you manage
this
to do it.
This is make it weird.
Is that all you're contributing to this opening?
Well, what else do we need? I can't remember.
Right.
What else
this is make it weird. My name is Steph.
I'm Sienna.
Sienna does sound like I've traumatized her into just panic spewing her name like she's actually in a
hostage
video.
Do I normally interrupt you, or do I normally say my name after, or do you just say my name?
You know what? I think...
Have we ever done this before?
You know, and contrary to what it sounds like right now, this isn't our first podcast ever, but my God, I think it feels like it.
Which is promising. New beginnings.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, this is Make It Weird. I'm Sienna.
And I'm Steph, and that was so good!
Thanks.
Bro, okay. When you don't think about it, you've got this.
It's typically how I roll through life. Okay, what are we talking about today, Steph?
I forget what we determined. Hold on, let me check my notes, because I actually have notes this time.
It was the smoothest handoff I gave you, and you still couldn't.
I'm not used to you lobbing them back in a smooth capacity.
That's fucking rude.
I'm also not used to having notes that I can refer to be honest. I'm used to just kind of winging it, and we just kind of go with, literally, and you've worked here now, what, 3.5 years? You are familiar with the concept that normally people lob things in my direction, I wing it, and it works out.
Do you think
so? I don't need to take notes.
Oh, I guess this could be a pack walk before I get totally off on a tangent. Okay, we'll circle back to that, I guess.
Do you want to write it in your notes so you don't forget it?
Yeah.
Because later on this episode, I'm sure I'll be like, hey, Sienna, is there a pack walk question? And you'll be... like, there was a great one 50 minutes ago, and I forget what it was. So we're going to talk about basic skills owners should have. And this isn't, like, basic training skills, like what your dog should know, like sit or down or whatever. We're talking about, like, if you own a dog, basic skill sets you should have. So these might be relevant to training. They're probably going to be assisted by training. Like, if one of these are skill sets that your dog doesn't do well with, these are things that can be assisted by training. But there are some basic skill sets that as a dog owner, you should just have because you own a dog, right? And those can be things for safety. They could just be things for like living with your dog. So like a really, really basic one, it would kind of be like being able to pick up your dog. Now, there's some very, very big dogs owned by very, very small people, so we're not really talking about that situation. Yeah, but we're talking about the basic, what? We're talking about the basic of just being able to, like, have you pick up your dog, or have you and someone else be able to pick up your dog, and your dog doesn't turn into a flailing demon Tasmanian devil style.
That's not good.
Can you just pick up your dog and put it in the back of a car if it's injured? Can you pick it up and carry it 3 feet if it's injured? Can you
put it
on
the
vet
table?
Yes, right? Like a basic skill set of how to pick up a dog is something, and I mean, again, some people are very small, some dogs are very big, so maybe you're going to be looking up how to do a two-man lift. But like something like that is a skill set that if you own a dog, the amount of people that I have seen try to load their dog in the back of a car if it won't jump in the car.
I was going to say, that's so almost like, yeah, the separate thing of like, you should be able to car load your dog.
Yeah.
Get your dog in the car.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that dogs sometimes won't get in new cars. And if you just say, hey, get in the car, like maybe they'll struggle with that. But they should definitely be able to get in your car.
Yeah, like maybe, and maybe not the first time, or maybe if they're super young or learning, again, this 100%. Is why you test it. But this is also, some of these things are like, you should test them, see where your dog's at. Because like, yeah, some of them might just be training assist. If your dog absolutely cannot, will not, that's something you might have to solve via professional help or whatever. But like, for example, at some point in your dog's life, they will have to get in a car. They will have to, whether it's an Anchorage dog, whether it's a dog that is a homebody.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. At some point, they got to go somewhere, even if it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. And again, lots of these things, when we say basic skills, it just means like, you should be able to do it without it being a traumatic event.
Yes, that's what we mean. Is it shouldn't be like, hey, this is such a good, this is the best skill your dog has. Your dog is amazing at car loading. But there are a lot of people that like have never even attempted to lift their dog off the ground. Their paws have not been off the ground all at once. And that is like a really, really scary thing for the dog. So it's not like they have to be amazing at it and you have to be amazing at it, and but everybody has to know how to do it well enough that it's not traumatic or scary.
Or takes an hour to get your dog into a car.
Yes.
Like those types of things of, again, lots of these are actually, I don't expect your dog to love it. I don't expect your dog to like beg to be lifted into the car.
No.
But it can't take an hour because if it's an emergency or whatever,
yeah,
that shit can't take an hour.
Yeah. Same with being able to put the things you own for your dog on your dog. So if you're not a person that owns a harness, sure, you don't necessarily have to be able to put a harness on your dog. But if you're a person that like you use a collar on your dog and like you have a little plastic buckle or whatever, mm-hmm. and you can't even get your dog to stand still long enough to put on a collar, or you can't, like, it's a collar that goes over their head. You can't put it over their head. They're trying to bite the collar, duck the collar, do the things. That's a thing where I'm like, if that's a piece of their regular everyday equipment and you can't get it on them without it being a fight.
Process? Wow.
That is probably something, that's more of a training thing, but that's something that should be addressed with training.
And some of these things I would dare recommend that, like, not only maybe you should check if you can do it, but maybe see if there's one other person in your life that could do it.
Yes.
Like, that's, and it, maybe it's just the other person that owns the dog. Maybe it's a friend. Like, maybe mm-hmm. it's, like, just literally just one other person. It doesn't even have to be for everything. Maybe one person knows how to help you load into the car. Maybe one person, another person knows how to put your dog's harness on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even with the harness thing, if it takes you a production and three hot dogs and whatever to get your own dog in a harness, what happens the day someone else might have to put your dog in a harness?
Yeah.
If it's your dog and you can't even do it, again, we're looking for prep for just in case.
Yes. So also, like, so that's again, that's for most dogs, that's going to be something that they'll be okay with through the repetition of you having done that when they're younger. Mm-hmm. But for some dogs, that's actually a training skill, not a life skill. But the amount of people I have seen that own a dog, that their dog has no handling issues, mm-hmm. but they cannot get a collar or a harness on the dog because it's just not a skill that they themselves as the owner understand
how to do it.
They've never practiced like getting the dog's paws off. They don't know which end of the harness goes on first. Those are dogs that, like, they don't have a problem putting on the harness. They don't have a problem with handling. They don't have issues. It's just something that you as the owner need to actually be able to do and do promptly.
And I feel like this could easily go off into a tangent in itself, which we're not going to do. But just
briefly. We are not tangent people, Sienna.
That's not us.
No. No, we're well known for staying on topic. We are laser focused
people. Anyway, no, but like, for example, like,
I've already forgotten what we were talking about.
No, but I think some of these things are also like, it circles back to the whole conversation of like dog handling is actually a skill.
Yes.
And there's lots of things that people go, oh, that's easier or whatever. And like, we, for example, might make it look easy,
mm-hmm.
but we do it a lot.
And yeah, a trainer should make something look easy. We do this with lots and lots of dogs every year. Like, there are things that are training skills, and there are things that are, like, just handling and kind of dog owner skills. And those are the things we're talking about today. Like, yes, there are dogs that it is very, very difficult to get anything on them. I have a client dog right now who it's very, very difficult to get any kind of collar on.
Mm.
The dog has a very large sensitivity about its neck. But the owner can get that harness on and off super fast, super easy, because that's a thing that they've done, they've practiced, and the owner is just very competent at getting the harness on when we need to get it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, beautiful, that's awesome. But this is the thing, is like, that's for most dogs not a training skill. Most of the time when I see dogs have an issue with getting their harness on or getting their collar on, it's just a practice skill of they just shake their head and they run off and the owner hasn't held the dog or grabbed the dog, or it turns into a game of like they try and get the collar around the head and the dog just decides to grab the collar and play tug with it. I love that one.
Or like putting a muzzle on or putting on, like, yes. God help it if it's... Especially like, because even the little things of like, maybe you're really good at putting on your collar, but then all of a sudden when you've driven to maybe a group class somewhere and then you need to put on their harness or you need to put on whatever tool you use or whatever. But if you've never done that in a car, in a crate, man, is that going to be a struggle and you're going to be stressed and you're going to be fumbling? So it's like, practice it. It's okay to practice little skills that you're like, okay, when I think of dog training, I think of doing the actual training. But sometimes there's these skills that come with it that it's literally like, actually has nothing to do with
that
your dog.
That has nothing to do with training. It has everything to do with interacting with a dog,
mm-hmm.
right? So the other part, we have another, so like picking up a dog, absolutely. If you're around mm-hmm. dogs a lot, you should be able to competently pick a dog up. You should be able to competently put on the gear that they have. My other one is basic restraint. You should be able to hold the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like In no way am I saying, like, pin the dog down to the ground. In no way am I saying, oh my God, restrain the dog for shots. I'm literally just like, you need to be able to, like, hold the dog still for a second so that you can look at their paw. And because if they're limping or something and they got, like, sap in their paw,
yeah,
you just need to be able to hold them long enough to, like, look at their paws.
Yep.
If they're trying to spit something out of their mouth, you're like, ah, you ate something, and they literally just have grass stuck in their teeth. You need to be able to hold them and restrain them long enough to, like, look in their mouth, look at a paw.
I was going
to
say, if they ever have any sort of eardrops, eye drops,
wipes, we can get into, that gets into, like, husbandry and cooperative care, but yeah.
Okay, fine.
That gets into training, but I'm literally just like, if you own a dog, you should be able to, like, pull a burr out of them.
Yeah.
You should be able to hold them still long enough to see if that's a burr or a stick sticking out of them.
Is that and a
be
like, tick or is that a lump?
Yes.
Or is that a piece of
sap? Yes. You should be able to
go about your day.
Yes. And that one is also turns into a rodeo more often than not.
Yes.
Production. What else did I have when I was talking about this before? Oh, well, and I mean, it helps again if your dog is food motivated here, but like luring.
Yeah.
If you're a dog owner, if you interact with dogs in any capacity, being able to lure a dog and lure a dog well is actually a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are food motivated or not, it is a lot, I will admit, it is a lot easier if they're food motivated. It is very easy to lure a dog if they are motivated and focused on what's in your hand.
By lure, what do you mean?
Wow, thank you, Sienna. I'm glad you asked. Get them... That was so subtle. I loved it.
You're welcome.
Get them to follow your hand. Mm-hmm. Be able to lure them in a direction, like over a step or down a flight of stairs or into a crate or over something that might, like, make them nervous.
Into
they're just not sure
room.
How to do it. Yes. Yeah. So getting them to follow you is what I mean. I don't necessarily mean, when I say luring, a lot of people think that I only mean the food in the hand, the dog's nose there, and I'm, like, luring into positions mm-hmm. and trick work. Okay, that is
feel
for
free to work
sure.
On that.
That yes, cool. We love that. That's
basic
the training.
Skill. That's a basic training foundation.
Yes,
thing.
But the other part of luring is just, like, getting a dog to be willing to follow you.
Yeah.
Like, there are lots of dogs that we work with that are, like, livestock guardian crosses or Spitz crosses that are not necessarily food motivated, but you need to be able to lure them or get them to be, like, following you.
Yeah.
And you may not have a relationship with them. You may also not have a motivator that they are super into.
I was going to say, that doesn't mean they have to be super excited to follow you. That doesn't mean we're like, oh my gosh, like, you're training.
Yes.
You're not training. It's literally just like, if you
can I get them to get through a doorway with me if they are scared of the fence? Like, that's all we mean. And there are so many people that they have their dog and their dog gets, like, slightly nervous about something, or their dog gets really, really excited about something and can't focus. And they... all communication between that dog and that owner go out the window.
Yeah.
There's no other form of communication people have besides, like, dragging their dog around on a leash.
Right.
They go to pull the leash through the door, to pull the dog through the door.
Yeah.
Or the dog gets excited about something and they hold the dog back with the leash.
Yes.
And that's the only, like, communication form they have. They have nothing else that either gives the dog some form of direction as to what the owner wants the dog to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an owner, this is something you should do. But if you are handling dogs and the only way you know how to communicate with a dog is through leash pressure, by holding a dog back or pulling a dog through, that's also maybe something you should consider working
on. Practice on that.
Yeah. There are other ways that you can communicate with dogs.
Yeah.
And there are other steps to building communication. And that's where I'm like, that is actually a basic skill set. If you can use food, man, super
we love that.
Easy.
Great.
But there needs to be something there besides, you can't always have a hot dog in your hand to lure a dog through, and you can't always have a leash to pull your dog through.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to have just an understanding of how to communicate with a dog that we are going this way. We are coming back this way. We are getting up on this step. Like, we're climbing over this rock. Like, that kind of a thing is something that people need to work on.
Yeah. And it's like the little things of, like, everybody just wants to work on it, but only ever, like, finds out that they really need that when they really need
that.
Yeah. So, like, again, lots of these things, your dog might do easy peasy, but, like, maybe just do a little check of them right now. Maybe you just got a young dog. Maybe you just adopted a dog, whatever. Again, if super bad, you cannot do it for whatever reason, maybe mm-hmm. we seek help. Maybe it's something your dog isn't great at, but you just do a little bit every day and you practice a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, again, even training. It's just, hey, can your dog do this?
Yeah. A lot of mine have to do with, like, can you do minor restraint? Can you lift your dog if it gets hurt? Can you in any way communicate with your dog if the primary system you use fails, right? Mm-hmm. If your leash snaps and your dog is loose, how, and you have no training in that dog, how do you lure that dog back? How to communicate to that dog, hey, you should come back? How do you go, hey, this is a thing that we need to do together, right? Not necessarily all about the food luring and the sport positions,
mm-mm.
but like communication in general.
Yeah.
Learning how to communicate with dogs. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that I feel moderately strongly about.
Moderately.
Yeah. That's one of those things that I do only feel moderately strongly about.
I know.
I don't think I've lost my mind about that more than once or twice. And there are things I lose my mind about.
I was going to say, that's just not true based on the average of,
yeah,
of your losing your mind on things. But
well, yeah.
I'm struggling, to be very honest, to come up with ones that are not training related.
Like your dog. So. I feel that your dog should be able to touch water.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily, again, have a bath. And I mean, everyone with a Shiba on the planet is going to be like, oh my God, my dog doesn't do that. I mean, you are excused if you have a Shiba. But
you need therapy, but like, you're excused.
You're excused from this.
You need to reevaluate other choices you made in life, but sure, you're excused from making them walk through a fucking bottle.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the thing is, I don't necessarily think, like, I want all my dogs to know how to swim. And I want all my dogs to be able to have a bath. But I don't feel that because almost everyone lives somewhere it rains, almost everyone does deal with... It will be wet
one day.
It will rain one day.
Maybe your apartment floods.
If your dog can't go through a puddle, if your dog can't walk, like if a road floods out and mm-hmm. it's 4 feet wide and your dog is so terrified, people are like, it's so cute, they don't want to get wet. And I'm like, sometimes, yeah, they don't want to get wet. And a lot of times when I see those little videos, it's like the dog is literally terrified of 2 inches of water.
It's also knowing the difference of like if you're doing these things, but like even in that, like it's also good for you to know, oh, my dog is absolutely terrified of water versus like, they don't like getting wet. Because there is a difference. But like if you don't even know or you're just like assuming they could.
Yeah.
But then the day down comes to it.
There is a basic skill set. Like we're not saying you need to have you don't need to take a course in dog body language. Dog
training.
Yeah, you don't need to have a keen sense of dog training. You don't need to have taken courses on dog body language. I mean, maybe read a book or something. But, like, you do need to know the difference between your dog being so wildly excited, kind of scared, terrified.
Right.
Those are 4 very different states.
We talked to somebody today. Emotional spectrum.
We talked to somebody today. They're great. Their dog is great, but their dog is wildly excited. And she was like, I think my dog is anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, and I was like, oh, those are different things.
Yes.
Like we're not saying you have to have a keen sense of every minute ear twitch.
No.
But like at least the difference between, I would say even 5 states, something where you're wildly excited, moderate to mild excitement, neutrality, a little bit of fear. Oh my God, I'm terrified. Because a lot of people actually look at neutrality and they either go, oh my God, my dog is wild. For some reason, people mistake neutrality for like...
They hate this.
Anxiety or wild terror or anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and weirdly enough, people will mistake like, a little bit of fear for, oh, my dog's just like anxious / excited about this. And they're just like, oh, she's just so excited. And I'm like, she's literally creeping away. Like, no. It's weird what people will mistake things for. So have an idea of those kind of
what that 5 looks like on your dog specifically. Because it's also, if they're kind of shooting in the range of kind of excited or kind of scared, that also lets you know, like, okay, more often than not, if they're in that range, you can work them through things, you can get through it, it's not a major issue. But then if you're seeing these major things of extreme emotions, well, that tells you that there actually is a bigger issue at hand, kind of thing. Because if they have extreme emotions, even if it's exciting for one thing, they might have extreme emotions for another thing.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So
it's one of those things that I'm like, I'm not a believer that every dog owner on the planet, again, needs a course in dog body language. I am a big believer that you should know your dog.
Yeah.
And you should know a couple basic states of your dog pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? And that will help you understand other dogs as well. But that is something where I'm like,
it's a good basic skill for owners to have.
Yes.
Nothing to do with the dog. It's the same thing. I don't know. It's the same thing. I don't know. Anything. But, for example, like,
the even confidence just, is flying to it.
I feel like an owner should maybe also know, like, to that same degree, what your dog does and doesn't like.
Yes.
Like, for example, it's okay if your dog doesn't like people. You don't have to then do a ton of training to make them like people. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. You literally just knowing that is sometimes enough.
Yeah.
Knowing your dog doesn't like people. Okay.
Knowing your dog doesn't like dogs. Knowing your dog doesn't like cats. There are lots of people that go, well, they don't like cats. Nope. They like cats in the sense that they're a snack.
Too much like
it. Yeah. So, yeah, I think having a good read on your dog and also being very self-aware about your dog, like being able to kind of objectively look at your dog, is a skill set that owners and handlers should have.
And again, it doesn't mean that you then, if you want to, if you're a handler or a trainer, you should. But if you want to, sure, you can do training, you can fix it. We will always advocate for training your fucking dog.
100%.
If we're just looking at being realistic, skills, like, yeah, okay, you don't have to go to a group class. You don't have to find a private trainer. You could just knowing, oh, my dog doesn't like other dogs. Cool.
I should cross the street when I see another dog.
I'm not going to let my cousin bring their dog over to the family dinner because my dog doesn't like dogs. And that 100%. Doesn't mean you have to train. It doesn't mean you have to worry about neutrality. No, you don't have to do anything. But just knowing it can actually change your behavior and just make sure in the sense of like, nothing will ever happen.
Yes.
That's bad, but it's also just like a good thing to know because everybody has this cookie cutter image of like all dogs love dogs. All dogs love people. Mm-hmm. All dogs love life. They have this golden retriever flouncing around their brain, and everyone that gets a rescue or everyone that gets a puppy, that's what they expect. And then when things don't, we get upset, but it's just more so like, know what, just again, hang out with your dog. Know your dog. If they don't like people, that's fine. Again, not, you could make it your job if you want to, but you don't have to. But knowing it helps.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, like a basic understanding of what they look like when they feel things, a basic understanding and a realistic understanding of just their behavior and the potentials for their behavior, what they like and don't like. I would say like just the skills of being able to do basic lifts and basic restraint on your own dogs, not even other dogs, just being able to lift your dog up, and it's not super traumatic for them or you. Communication. And I don't even want to call it luring because everybody has such a big association with luring being the food in the hand, but more like body language, like learning how to communicate with your body language, like almost like I think I'm just going to go with basic communication, like being able to just basically get your point across of like, hey, you should follow me. Hey, I don't want you to do that. Hey, we're going up on this rock or over this tree or whatever. Yeah. I don't even want to call it luring, but I can't think of a better word for it.
We'll put a pin in that one day. We'll find a really great word for it. But
basic, we'll be pottying dogs one night in the middle of January and it'll be pitch black and you'll be like, I came up with a word.
We have talked about that before.
What?
But are we counting? Two things. Are we counting basic skills as like you're able to collar grab and clip a leash to your dog, or is that falling under a different category?
I mean, I think that is a basic skill.
Because I'm like, that's not even necessarily training. That's like, can you clip a leash to your dog?
Well, we already kind of covered that under like being able to put gear on your dog. I assumed the leash was with that. Like being able to put a leash on your dog is one of those things that you do assume everyone knows. Right. But they don't. If anything different happens than just standing at the front door, a lot of times it is a process. We regularly ask people to just like, when they come in, they clip their dog onto one of our lines the first time they come here. And I'm telling you, sometimes that happens real quick. And sometimes just the fact that it is a different leash than their leash.
Yeah, that's
the fact that it's in a different angle. The fact that they're in a different room. Man, is that a different thing. But anyway, I wasn't gonna go overboard on all these crazy skills. That's kind of the basics of where I'm like, I felt you should just be able to move, manipulate, and lift your dog in different ways and it not be a world-ending bite situation. But you should also know how to lift your dog. You can't just, like, grab their front legs.
And again, there's one version of it where obviously if it's, like, if it's looking like they're going to bite you or world-ending, yeah, that sucks. But again, if you can't even lift your dog, not because they're trying to bite you, because it's a literal rodeo. Like, they're just so excited and bucking around and, like, they're not going to bite you. And you know that. And that's why some people might be like, oh, I can do it. My dog won't bite me. But if it takes you 10 minutes and they're buckarooing, again, you also need to work on it, maybe.
Yes. Yes. And, yes, so many people think when we mean you have to be able to do this, they're like, well, I can do that because my dog doesn't bite me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not that many dogs do bite their owners. We have a yes, I know. We have a bias skewed version of that. Sorry. Yeah. You were like, excuse me, what? I know. Our ratio is
I'm kidding. I know there's nicer dogs in the world somewhere. I've heard about them.
Yeah.
I've heard about
Yetis. I see them on TV.
I've heard about Sasquatch.
Yeah.
I do believe in the Loch Ness.
There you go.
Monster.
But just because your dog isn't going to bite you, that's not what we mean.
That doesn't mean they can do it. I love that.
Yes.
I do love that, that they're not
biting. Yeah, I love that they're not going to bite you, but it's also just because no one's getting hurt doing it does not mean it's something you can do smoothly. The amount of people that are like, my dog is crate trained, absolutely, and even in their own house, if it's just slightly different, we're like, can you put your dog in the crate? No, actually. It is like a 4-minute fiasco.
I gotta get the good hot dogs. I gotta
That's not it. Nope.
Not what we mean.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that it was a dangerous situation. It's just like if it takes
all of a sudden the pattern has changed and the dog is like, I don't know what we're doing at all. That's what we mean. We literally mean if you can't just like go pick up your dog and in under 10 seconds put their harness on or put their collar on or whatever you use, 10, 15 seconds of, hey, stop bouncing around, done. That's good. There you go. You pass. But if you have to like grab their harness and you have to like chase them down, hold them, the leg is going the sideways, you're putting the harness on, and you're like, oh my God, wait, it's backwards. And then 45 seconds later to maybe 5 minutes later, you're like, I did it. That's actually, we're talking about.
If you can't do it without sweating and coming out of it with like, your hair falling out and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If that's how you look coming out of it, you might need to
work on it a bit. That's the thing that we want you to work on. As the owner and the handler.
Literally, it should be no sweat.
Yeah.
It should be just, hey, we did it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
And again,
there's a training element to a lot of this. You can add some hot dogs in. But a lot of the stuff we're talking about today is not stuff that a lot of dogs don't do well. It's a lot of stuff that owners really struggle with because they don't do it that much.
Yes.
So that's just like basic skill sets we want you to have.
101. Dog owners 101.
Yes. Yes. I think we stayed on topic, which is weird.
Amazing.
This was a short one.
This was a short.
I think that's good though. I think sometimes we need to have short ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's just basics because you won't let me talk about training.
Yeah. I know. We're just not that you're bitter about it, but we're focusing on non-training aspects. You had a pack walk question and you wrote it down in your phone.
Do you think you'd be more successful? Like, first off, do you think you'd struggle reading a teleprompter if you were doing the news?
No.
You think you'd be, and then
I'd be better at that than anything else.
I was going to say, and do you feel like if you're at the Emmys, you're in charge.
Okay.
You're announcing the next category.
On it.
Do you feel better about reading a teleprompter or do you feel better about memorizing it? Or do you feel better about winging it?
Mix between teleprompter or winging it. I wouldn't want to memorize it because that seems like a lot of things. Are we talking about like memorizing this is the category or are we talking about hosting it? Because hosting it and memorizing that whole like 3-hour show would be insane. Or are you talking about memorizing the like this is this category? These are the nominees.
You're announcing the next category.
Still probably either the teleprompter or winging it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Very confident winging stuff now in my life, but very good at reading the things. Mm. And that keeps me on topic.
Okay.
Because me and subtitles are tight.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Fair right. Enough. Like you've seen me watch anything. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Sick. That's why I'm like, I can subtitle like a champion.
Yeah.
Teleprompter would be really helpful in my everyday life.
Probably. But you wouldn't listen to it. So, like, I actually...
I think I might.
No, you wouldn't. I don't think you would.
Well, who's writing the teleprompter? Am I writing it?
Doesn't fucking matter.
I think if I wrote it, I'd be like... No,
if you wrote it, if you wrote your entire script for a lesson, you said it's in there, and you'd start, and I think then...
But in a lesson, it's very interactive. That's a presentation. That, to me, is very different than in a lesson. Oh, absolutely not. I would last 2.5 seconds.
I still am doubtful, even for a presentation of a topic that you have written everything that is coming on the teleprompter. I am so doubtful you'd commit to that.
Well... Yeah, it depends how long that would be. If that was a category presentation or the whole thing.
I actually don't think it matters, but...
Yeah, what would you do?
I think the pressure of reading on the spot is too much. I'd rather just have my script ahead of time, memorize my lines, and be done. And or wing it, or a combo. I don't think I would thrive on reading, because you have to read it and say it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's not your thing.
I don't think I could.
Oh, I can...
I think I could memorize. I think I'd have a closer chance of, like, memorizing the whole script for the whole show.
Oh, really?
Yes, versus that.
Oh, I can read back anything, man.
I could read it and read it a couple times, know it in my brain, rehearse it, and be like, okay, got it, let's go. Then if I know... If I'm just trying to read it on the spot, the chances of me being able to read it and say it and feel confident in how I'm saying it, I'm so doubtful.
Oh, really?
Versus if I just memorize a script, better.
You know where that confidence comes from? Reading to the class for 12 years. Oh, I knew I'd get a homeschool joke in there somewhere.
Well, there is the running joke that I don't know how to read in my family. It's the funniest joke in my family.
Oh, really?
And I play along. I agree. Whenever they're like...
I still think how long's a string is the funniest joke in your family.
Fuck that joke. It's not even a joke. That's just stupid.
No, I think ever since we've gone through that whole thing, I think it's amazing. Now there's so many more options.
Sienna can't read.
Why? Where did that come from? You don't want to read? You can't read?
Both.
You're the youngest one, so they just assume.
So I can't read.
Oh, okay.
So that's why that's the joke, especially when like we're reading on vacation or something and I finished a book, it's like it's a joke because like, oh, I just flipped the pages at the right amount of time.
Oh, wow. You really are the youngest child.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never pretended to not be.
No, I don't think any of your sisters would let you not be.
No, but I'm like, even as a person, I don't think I could talk to another adult or person for longer than an hour and them not go, if I said I'm one of four, which one? I don't think anybody is going to say four of four. No, not say four of four, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Not say youngest.
Yeah.
Absolute youngest.
Yeah. I'm not a fucking middle child.
I like how offended you looked at even the concept of being the middle child.
Because I'm not. I'm not a fucking middle child.
No.
I think I could, for someone that doesn't know me or my family at all, I could get away with maybe pretending to be oldest, but after either a little bit of context or a little bit of time, no, that shit's
youngest. After an hour and a half, they're just like, absolutely not.
No.
You're not.
Yeah, but I'm not a fucking middle child. And I'm not an only child.
No.
And I know that.
Just the way you eat candy says you're not an only child because you're just only going to eat some
yellow
candy.
Ones.
Yes.
Oh, I'm like, what the fuck?
Just literally the fact that they stole all the good candy from you for 18 years and it shows.
Well, and it's truly brainwashed me because like I still grab those ones first.
Yes.
I just assume.
Yes.
The yellow ones, the green ones. Orange.
This is a dog training podcast and also therapy for Sienna.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is you would memorize lines at the Emmys and I would read a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
I think we took the whole episode of when we normally know how we're trying to stay on topic now? But before, we would stay on topic, we'd go off on a tangent. We'd stay on and then we'd get back on topic. Then we'd go off on a little tangent. This whole pack walk talk, I think had like 5 different tangents in it. I think if we restrict ourselves to just tangents in one spot, they get way more extreme.
Bro, I don't think our pack walk talks are usually super cohesive.
Really? Oh, okay.
I'm doubtful. I haven't really listened to a ton.
I tried to listen to some of the episodes on those big long drives I had, but I will say I listened to some of the pack walk talks, but I didn't listen to all of them.
I think I'm behind. I don't know if I listened to all of them.
I don't. I listened to some. It was good. I don't know. I said, you need to give me podcasts to listen to. Or you said, you have an hour and a half left of this drive. You should find a podcast. And yeah. I said, well, I tried to listen to ours. And you were like, well, you need to try another one. And I said, I couldn't name another podcast.
Well, that's why. Well, first off, like, I'm confused by that. Which is like literally just go into podcasts, go to top charts and pick the top charting podcast.
Oh.
Like, see if you like it. That's the thing. It's like, I don't think.
Oh, you just want me to try a new thing? No.
Because here's the thing. I don't think you listen to crime podcasts, but maybe that's your shit. I don't think it is.
No.
Personally, I don't. No. I don't think that you're reaching for a crime podcast, but like.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I don't know if you'd reach for like a pop culture one.
Well, I just agree with any pop culture reference you've made. Right. For three so I'm and like,
you're
years,
not listening
so.
To that. You're not listening to that. You don't need to listen to a dog training one. Maybe you'd like. Like there are like, I don't know. So I'm just like, go try one.
I don't like trying new things. I have very, very specific small interests. I don't know, man.
Oh my God, we could do a fun, what month is it?
I don't know.
We're already 8 days.
Oh, it's October. Oh okay. My God.
I got a new plan for November.
You've got a what for November?
New plan.
Oh, what's your plan for November?
I'm not going to share it yet.
Okay.
But it will involve
Thank you for telling me there isn't, whoa, it involves me? It
will involve you.
Doing what?
Oh, this will be fun.
No, no, it won't.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
I'm.
How many days are in November? 30?
31.
I thought October had 31.
Oh, I thought you asked how many days were in October.
Oh, no. How many days in November? 30? Probably.
Yeah, 30.
Seems like a 30 month.
We are also a big advocate for the Canadian school system. We're showing off. Because you literally said 30 and I went, sure, man, that sounds great.
Well, because November 29th is not going to end November 30. It's either 30 or 31. And if October is 31, November can't be.
30 days has September, April, June, and November. 30
days have September. Sorry, say that again.
30 days has September, April, June, and November.
Okay, but I'm trying to hear like the little device you're using or something. Like what is the,
I don't know, it's a little nursery rhyme thing that I learned when I was like fucking five. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. I don't know, maybe it's like a haiku or some shit. We did not go to school, bro.
You did?
Well, yeah, but like I wasn't awake for a lot of it. We both
graduated.
Well, yeah, I wasn't awake for a large part of it, but I remember that from when I was 6.
Okay,
well, I think we did. That's how all, would you folks. Rate our performance today? I think.
On the actual content or just overall?
Oh, just on the content, like overall, like the whole podcast or overall through the day? Because I mean, if you include the day, I think we did well. You did like 4 hours of lessons, I did 3 hours of lessons. Like we've done good. But if we're just going with just the podcast.
I just meant the podcast.
Oh, I would say this is like a solid 7 out of 10.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Go us.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.